Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Time has gone, it's about to go 7:15. You're on 101.9 Hi FM, and joining me right now to talk about news and what is happening in the world is somebody who's no stranger to Hi FM. Her name is Irina Zuckerman. She's a human rights and national security lawyer. She's based in the United States, and we're going to be talking about which countries will take Gazans in. Good morning, Irina. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Always happy to speak to you. Irina, which countries do you think are going to take in Gazans? Have any said
nobody,
that they would?
Nobody.
Why?
Nobody is going to be taking in Gazans. I think we are hearing two parallel narratives that are not being bridged by any sense of reality. On the one hand, we are hearing proclamations by Donald Trump, which apparently were not run by anybody in his staff, and which now his staffers are admitting that they decided to turn into a conversation starter because they didn't know what else to do. Those comments came out of the blue. On the other hand, you have the Arab states that have formed a lobby to address the fact that they have no intentions of taking in millions of Gazans. Maybe they can take in a few families here and there for extra payment, but that's about it. In fact, Egypt has apparently reached out to the U.S. indicating that any attempt to mass evacuate Gazans to their country could destabilize Egypt and result in the breaking of the treaty with Israel. So I think the dialogue in the West and among Israel supporters and the Jewish communities and Donald Trump supporters is based entirely on their own wishful thinking, not on any sort of practical engagement with the countries that are supposed to be the recipients of Gazans.
So interesting. I mean, somebody actually, I saw a comment on social media that somebody said that if Jews had been offered the opportunity to leave Europe ahead of the Shoah, they all would have taken the opportunity. And I'm not saying that there's going to be, you know, this genocide in Gaza, God forbid, but, you know, take the opportunity. I'm trying to get my head around the, you know, not wanting to stay, and where they're going to live, Irina.
Well, let's look at the first place. First of all, to relocate all of these people, somebody needs to pay for that. Donald Trump is certainly not going to pay for that. He's never paid for anything like that in his life. Israel has no way to pay for that, and Israel has not even decisively won the war against Hamas. So we are, first of all, putting the carriage before the horse.
Yes.
Second, in the best case scenario, assuming millions of people suddenly decided to leave, and if they wanted to leave, they would have not been electing Hamas, which was promising them full control of the land. Not been electing to participate in the massacre on behalf of Hamas, I'm saying, if this was their mindset, it would take many years. It would not be, it would have to be across many different countries, and certainly not in the Arab world, where even the current sets of Palestinians living there are not granted citizenship, are not integrated, and in many cases leave in deplorable conditions in camps. So why would they want to go to another country when they're living to live the same way as they have left, have been living in Gaza to begin with? So that's definitely not you know, a consideration. The third consideration is that Donald Trump's staff is already backtracking and saying that this relocation would have been temporary to rebuild the country to living conditions. But again, rebuilding Gaza in the best case scenario would entail a huge amount of money being put in before anything comes out of it. And if you move those people back, who says that that they will not destroy the infrastructure the same way they destroyed the olive trees that Israel left behind upon leaving Gaza in 2005? So before you move anyone anywhere, they need to be disarmed, they need to be de-radicalized. There needs to be an assumption that it will not be a security threat to their hosts. No one is willing to take the chance, and you can't force countries to take millions of refugees in. Many Arab countries are themselves struggling economically. They left a mess after years of Iran-backed operations. Other Muslim countries may be more stable, but still have enough poverty, so somebody would have to pay them to take these people in. That's assuming Gazans wanted to leave. Now, I'm not saying that the current situation is ideal, but let's face it, Hamas is still there. The prospects for winning Hamas decisively are slim, because...
Well, Hamas is an ideology. We've been saying this since the beginning of the war. It's not just based in, you know, the terror tunnels of Gaza. Hamas is an ideology that has spread throughout, you know, the world.
Precisely, and that is why no one is particularly eager to bring in more Gazans into their countries. Egypt and Jordan are already being destabilized by their own extremists there, and they've had horrible experiences with Hamas, especially Egypt. Hamas literally had joined forces with ISIS to attack people all over the country. So this is the last thing that they want. And by the way, this would not be good for Israel either. Imagine a huge conclave of radicalized Gazans entering Egypt, which already has a significant extremist population, or Jordan, and essentially surrounding Israel from both fronts. But now with even greater numbers of people who are already indigenously there. So that would not be a good situation, and the governments there would not be able to control it.
Yeah. Irina, that is where we leave it. Thank you so much for making time. And I always enjoy listening to what you have to say. Thank you very, very much. Wish
you
a wonderful
so
weekend. God bless. Bye-bye. Time has gone 7:21. That was Irina Zuckerman, a human rights and national security lawyer based in the United States.